I'd like to speak to you this morning about the battleground of your mind. Your mind and your thoughts are important to God and who you are. I usually, when I think about who I am spiritually or who people are spiritually, I think more about the heart. I usually use that word a lot more. We think about our hearts being right with God. Think about what God wants in the inward heart, how He wants to write His law on the inward heart of who we are. And the heart is very important. Actually, it can't really be separated from the mind, but the Bible also talks a lot about the mind and about our thought life, about what we think about, what we dwell on, and how it affects us in this world. And so this morning, I want to talk to you about your mind, about our minds. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7 says, "For as a man thinketh in his heart, so he is." Man or woman, doesn't matter, young or old, male, female, single, married, retired, in school, working, at home, across the fence, whoever you are, as a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. I notice in that verse how the thinking and the heart are connected. Somehow our minds and what we think about impacts greatly what we believe and what we choose and how we live our lives. And so this morning I want to look at quite a few scriptures about the mind. And what does the Bible say about the mind? And what does it say about your mind and about my mind? When we think about the core of who we are spiritually, probably do think about the heart a little bit more, but the mind is in some ways kind of the pathway through which our heart chooses what to believe and how to live and what to hold on to. They are certainly tied together. I'm going to read several scriptures about the mind today, and I want to start with the book of Philippians, chapter 2, with one verse from chapter 2 of the book of Philippians. If you want to follow along, I'm going to read one verse here, and then I'm going to read from a number of verses in chapter 4 of the book of Philippians. But very simply, in chapter 2, this is one of the translations of this verse. It says, "Your mind, thinking like Jesus did, thinking in Christian color, thinking through the lens of Jesus, should be the same as that of Christ Jesus." Boy, that is a high call. That is a high calling. Your mind should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. Right away, do you want to say, "Pastor, it's not possible. Man, there is no way. Just forget it. The Bible is just way up there on the shelf. I mean, there's no way that I can think like Jesus did." Well, number one, we're told to. And so if you believe that God speaks to us through the Bible, would you consider this one verse from Philippians chapter 2 and take the challenge to think through what is God saying to us here? Your mind should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. Boy, that is a high calling. Now would you go on to chapter 4, and I'm going to read verses 4 through 9 from chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, beginning reading at verse 4. Notice what it says about the mind and about thinking. "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, in prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things." The mind mentioned here and many, many other places and times in the scriptures throughout the Bible is a key component to who you are. Again, I think of the heart as being the key component, but the mind also is very key to who you are spiritually and how you stand before God. God cares deeply about your thought life. He cares deeply about what you dwell on and you focus on. You must believe and you must act on the belief that God cares about your mind. The mind has been described by one person as the gateway to the soul. And in many ways it is. You think about what comes into your heart, it comes into your affections, it comes into your moral choices, it comes into how you view the world, it comes into how you, basically your worldview of who God is and what's going on around you. Your mind is that gateway, because it's through your mind that ideas are coming. It's through your mind that you have concepts and you weigh different things that you hear to choose what you will focus on in your life and what will you believe. I want you to think this morning about your mind as being a gateway. Stephen Deneff, in a book I read recently, describes the mind as the last frontier of sanctification. He said it's a last frontier of sanctification. The mind, in other words, he is saying, is that thing that maybe is the most difficult to capture. The heart and the will may be able to be captured quicker by the Spirit of God than the mind is. Because the mind, of course, we can't control what comes into our minds many times. We control a lot of access to our minds, but there's a lot that comes into our thinking that we can't control. It simply comes and it's there. There's a great challenge to our minds being what God wants it to be. I'm not going to say this morning that it's easy for our minds to please God. I'm not saying that it's easy that everything that we think about our thought life is pleasing to God. We know there are many challenges. 1600 years ago, Augustine, you probably have heard his name, he said it takes only a minute to convert the soul, but a lifetime to convert the mind. He's right about that. The mind takes a lot of work. It takes effort. It takes discipline. It's a process. Sometimes it's a struggle. Certainly you would call it a journey to have a mind that pleases God. But God does care deeply about your mind and how you process what you hear and what you see and all those things that are part of the inputs of your life. The Bible says a lot about the importance of the mind. You remember the greatest commandment Jesus quoted from the Old Testament when he was asked, what's the greatest commandment? And what did Jesus say? He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. You know, that Jesus said that we're to love God with our minds. You know, we think of loving God with our hearts. And that's so true and so deep. But also, we can make a choice to love God with our thinking and our minds. Maybe a little harder to hold on to and grasp, but God wants you to love Him with your mind as well. God wants you to love Him with everything that you are, and how you think and your thoughts and your thought life can either honor God or dishonor Him. And He calls us to love Him with all our minds. We also know that Satan will try to attack your mind. Satan will try to bring things to your mind that causes you to be drawn away from the worldview that God has. Satan will try to bring you thoughts that are unhealthy. Satan will try to bring thoughts to you that are unwholesome. Satan will try to bring thoughts to you that are ungodly, and he will try to get you to hold on to them and hook into them and keep them at the forefront of who you are. Just as God wants your mind to be holy, God wants your mind to be set apart, Satan wants to confuse your mind and bring you doubts of who God is and God's authority in your life and everything that's right and true. Satan will try to bring to your mind to cause you to think less of God, to think less of the authority of God, and to make decisions that are wrong. Sometimes Satan uses a barrage. We live in that day of communication where we are barraged, and I think Shauna used that word earlier. There's this bombardment going on of stuff that dishonors God. Stuff that you watch on TV, stuff that you turn on your music, and stuff that you choose to watch or choose to listen to or you choose to read. I mean, there is so much ungodly stuff out there, and if you allow that to come into your mind and possess your mind, you can't possibly have the mind of Christ. You can't possibly have the mind of Jesus if you allow that stuff to capture your mind. That stuff is so around us. There's so many voices of entertainment, voices of education, voices of the reinterpretation of history, voices that undermine the authority of God. I mean, it's just incredulous to me that in 2016 there's a fuss about transgender bathrooms. Where are we going as a people? Well, you can see where we're going as a people. Whatever your view of a transgender bathroom is, I mean, women have stalls, so that's good, I figure, you know? But where are we going? It doesn't stop immorally. And we're on a slope as a society. And as Christians, we better say, we have got to stand up in our hearts and our minds against what's going on. Because Satan is trying to destroy the world and destroy us spiritually. There's a barrage of voices, and they come out in all kinds of areas of life, again, of education, of entertainment. Sometimes Satan puts those thoughts in our minds about our own weaknesses and our own humanity and our own failures, and he just uses those to draw us into unhealthiness. Sometimes Satan is very subtle about our minds and our thought life and what influences us about morality. I mean, the innuendos that are on most shows, and certainly if you just paint it a broad net, I'll say 70% of things on TV are innuendos that attack the authority of God. And what do we do as Christians? Do we think it's okay? Do we really think it's okay to allow our minds to be peppered with that, or even to be bombarded with that, to be barraged with that? I mean, Satan works really casually in the mind, and he undermines God's authority very casually in many ways and places. Sometimes Satan is so subtle and so gradual, and it seems like it's just not really even there. And we look back and we see how far we are from the mind of Jesus, from the mind of Christ, from the mind of the call of God to be His holy people. Satan will try to infect you. He will try to infect your thinking. God knows that. And God wants you to be healthy in your mind. He wants you to have a blessed mind. He wants you to have a positive mind. Look at this verse from 2 Timothy chapter 1. It says, "But God did not give us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind." That's what God gives. God gives a sound mind to us. God gives us the ability to filter. God gives us the ability through His Holy Spirit to take all that junk that's out there and choose to not participate in that and to have the mind of Christ. Think of that. He gives us the power of a sound mind. But it's up to us. It's up to us to sanctify that mind. As we sanctify our hands and we sanctify our tongue and we sanctify our ears, we sanctify our feet, and every part of us is to be given to God, the mind is too. If you're going to be a Christian, a believer, and follow what God tells us, you've got to think of your mind as also being a place to be sanctified. A mind is a place to be set apart and say, God, it does belong to You. You've given us truth and principles about what we allow to come in and dwell in us. It is up to us to sanctify that part of who we are, to apply God's principles to our thought life, to take in God's Word and God's world into ours and let it guide us. And if we allow the voices of the culture to do that, we can't even begin to think that we can have the mind of Jesus. But He calls us to us. Let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. I'm thinking of some psalms this morning. I will meditate on Your wonderful works. I'm thinking of, I will meditate on Your law day and night. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing to You, O God. The meditations of our heart. Again, the mind and the heart. God calls us to be challenged that stuff that we're dealing with and we're thinking about and we're holding on to is godly and is infused with the truth of God. Satan does try to hook us in our thought life. And Satan has so many different hooks. And you think of the hooks that Satan has. He has a lot of them. Some are big, some are small. Some look really nasty, and some you can't even tell it's a hook. I mean, he has all kinds of hooks, and they're different sizes and different shapes. And you know it, that Satan is coming after you in your thought life. Satan's going to find something in your life and he's going to draw you away and he's going to try to hook you. Whatever it is, and there's so many different things that it can be. He knows where you're vulnerable. He knows where there's something in your life because of who you are and where you're from and your background and your challenges and your struggles, and you're going to be more vulnerable to Satan as he tries to hook your thought life. It might be in your faith and your belief in God. It might be that you've heard so much stuff out there, you don't know whether to believe in God or not. So every time he can bring something to your mind, it just deteriorates a little bit. And you dwell on that and you focus on it. It just kind of undermines that faith that you have. He knows where you're vulnerable. It could be your self-esteem. A lot of people struggle with who they are and where they've been in their life. And Satan attacks that. He gives them thoughts that are negative and hurtful and undermines who they are and how they feel about themselves. Could be sexual desire. Could be desires that God gave us that are natural and good and in the right context are beautiful and wonderful. The gift of sex. Could be maybe pride. Could be that you have a lot that you want to accomplish in your life. Satan uses that to say, you deserve this, or you ought to be doing that, or you're the right person for that. And Satan can make that into something unhealthy. Maybe a judgmental spirit. Maybe a need to forgive, and you're not able to do that, and you're holding in your heart, you're holding in your mind thoughts about somebody else who's hurt you, and you just can't seem to let it go. Whatever it is, Satan will try to attack you. You could have a negative spirit. You could have a spirit that just always sees the negative. So you really are unable to function and do what God wants you to, because you're just always seeing the glass that's half empty. You just always see what isn't, what could be, what wasn't. And so your life is consumed with the negative. That's from a mind that is focused on the wrong thing. Satan has a great variety of those hooks. But God does want us to have a sound mind. Let me give you three words about your mind this morning that I believe come directly from the Scriptures, are important that we hold on to. Number one is, God wants you to have a renewed mind. A renewed mind. God can cleanse your mind. When you struggle with something that is unclean or unhealthy, God can take it away. It is an issue of sanctification. It is an issue of saying, God, I don't want to be dwelling on this. I don't want to have this stuff inside of me. I don't want this to rule my life. I don't want this to drive my car. I don't want this to kind of control my relationships, because I know that's not the mind of Jesus. God wants you to have a renewed mind, and only by coming to the power of the cross can you have your mind renewed. And the Bible talks about the importance of that renewal. God can and will cleanse your mind if you come to the place of committing your mind to Him. Understanding how important that mind is. Something has to die. When it comes to our minds and unhealthiness, something has to die. As I've said about the cross and other issues in your life, if you got something that you can't get rid of, it just keeps coming back to your mind, it's got to die. It's got to die. You've got to pray, God, would you take it away? Would you root it out? I don't want that anymore. It's part of self, and I don't want that. God, I ask you to take away that struggle in my mind, and God is able to do that. Holding on to what is not pleasing to God keeps God from being able to come in and clean that out, root it out, take it away. Romans chapter 12, verse 2 describes it like this: do not be conformed any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Notice that, transformed by the renewing of your mind. God can renew your mind. God can change what's going on and is possessing your thoughts. God can help you when stuff comes into your mind to put it where it belongs. You file it in the trash can. You choose to do that. And God can help you to form a new pattern about what you think about and what comes in your mind. But you got to call it what it is. You got to call it unhealthiness. You got to call it sin. You got to call it destructive, limiting, whatever words you want to use to call it. You have got to call it what it is and pray that God will take it out of your life. God says He's able to do that. He's able to renew you. We've talked about the renewing promises of God. If any man be in Christ, the old is gone, the new has come. That includes the mind. God can clean up and clean out unhealthy thoughts, but you have to call it what it is. You can't make excuses. You can't hold on to negative stuff. You can't hold on to stuff that is not building others up. You can't hold on to stuff that is destructive to the fruit of the Spirit in your life and expect to have the mind of Christ. You've got to give it up. You've got to call it what it is and say, God, I ask You to take it away and to clean it out of my life, to be made new in the attitude of your mind. Ephesians chapter 4 says, you were taught with regard to your former way of life. And look at this, to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds. To put off the old self and to be made new in the attitude of your minds. God can make you new. God can cleanse your attitude. God can cleanse your mind. He can help you with things that are unhealthy in your life, if first you recognize them and you give them to Him. To be made new in the attitude of your mind. God also calls us to a disciplined mind. You have a choice about what you allow and what you dwell on and you focus on in your life. It's kind of like the eyes, as I see it. You can't help what comes in front of your vision 99% of the time. It's just there. You know, you turn this way and you see whatever. You're going through life, you see things that are unhealthy influences or are not good for you to continue to look at and dwell on. And what does God want us to do? God wants us to look the other way then. God can help you to do that with your vision. You see something, us men that are out there, and we see women in shorts these days, and summer's coming, and we're bombarded more and more with the sensuality that's there. Well, we can't help what we see when we're looking out there, but we can help if we look twice. We can help it if we continue to dwell on something that God doesn't want us to dwell on. It's the same way with the mind. You can't help maybe what comes into your mind. Satan brings things to your mind. But right away you can call it what it is. You can recognize it and say, this is not what God wants me to focus my mind on. It isn't what God wants me to go there over and over again and just kind of drag me into this lifestyle or into this way of looking at things that keeps me from being what God wants me to be. A disciplined mind. It is so important. It's the same with the mind. You might not be able to control what comes across your mind, but you can change the channel. That's what God calls us to do. The Bible calls it taking captive every thought. Boy, this is a big expression, taking captive every thought. Look at this scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Boy, that too is a big verse. Take captive every thought. You know, people say, I can't help what I think about. Oh, that's not true. With the discipline that God can help us, we can change the channel. We can focus on the things that God wants to. We can program our minds with things that draw us to things that are above. One of the scriptures that Shauna read earlier, focus on the things that are above. God can help us to do that. Take captive every thought. You might think, why, I can't do that. Well, the truth is, the Bible says we can do that. We demolish the arguments. We demolish every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. God can help you to have your thoughts where He wants them to be. He can help you when you think about something that's not good and not healthy. You can recognize it what it is. You can call it what it is. And you can say, that's not what God wants for me. That's not what God calls me to. That's not what gives me the mind of Christ. And God can help us to make the choices. We do have a choice, and that takes discipline. 1 Peter chapter 1 says, therefore, prepare your minds for actions. We better be ready. We better be willing to take the bull by the horns with our thought life. We really can, with God's Spirit, be prepared. We can be self-controlled, and God can help us to do that. It's not just enough, I read one person say, it's not just enough to love the flowers. We've got to hate the weeds too. We've got to call thoughts when they're not healthy, when they're not wholesome, when they're not godly. Call them what they are. They're weeds. God tells us to reach in there and pluck them out. throw them away. You know, sometimes weeds just are persistent. They keep coming back, and we may not be able to control it. When I had my garden, man, I'd pull those weeds, and 3 days later, there's more weeds. Sometimes that's the way it is spiritually. We got to keep pulling the weeds. Got to keep saying, God, I don't want to have a mind that's not honoring you. I don't want to be in the basement of negativity. I don't want to be in that place of always seeing things that do not lift up. Take every thought captive. One more word this morning. God calls you to have a focused mind. We can decide to a large degree what comes into our minds. You know that. You control much of what comes into your mind. God tells us to focus on certain things. We certainly control what comes from our minds to our tongues and what we say. God tells us to focus on certain things, dwell on them, think about them, hold on to them. Look at this verse in closing this morning, Philippians chapter 4 says, finally, brothers. And then this is what verse 8 says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, go on to that last one, would you, Nate? Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think on these things. This is the list of what God gives us. Now, there's a lot of life. We think about work, we think about relationships, we think about jobs and money and all those other things that are part of life, but this is the list that God gives us. He says, think about the good. Think about the upright. Think about the pure. When you choose what you allow to come into your mind, have that list in front of you. When you choose your movies, when you choose the music that you listen to, when you choose the words that you speak about other people, when you choose how do you deal with being hurt in your life by people, when you choose whether you're going to have a positive attitude or a negative attitude, whether you're going to see the negative or you're going to hold on to the good, look at this list. Whatever is true and noble and right and pure and lovely and admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think on these things. God cares deeply about your mind and your heart. Would you stand as we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you this morning for the call to examine our minds, to have a mind that's like Christ Jesus. I know that's a high calling. I pray, God, that we would be challenged by your word and your truth. Lord God, to set our minds on things that are above, that we would be focused on the things that you want us to. Lord God, I pray that you'd help us to quickly, Lord, recognize when thoughts come to us that are unhealthy and unwholesome and really detract from the authority of God. Help us to see that for what it is. Help us, God, to seek to have minds that are clear in conscience and clear, God, in turning to you and, Lord, giving you the rightful place in our lives, I pray. Thank you for these scriptures. Thank you for the mind that you give us. God, may we use them to the fullness of how you designed us to. Help us to live with them in faith. And God, not to waste our minds spiritually or in any other way, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you for being here. Hope you have a great day tomorrow. God bless.